For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
It is the Box Score Breakdown, presented by Hoop Bowl for your 11 slate of games on this, the 6th of January 2021. It's a Wednesday. Well, it was a Wednesday, depending on where you're listening and where you watch these games, because some of them were on a Thursday. Hello, I am your host, Scotty. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. My co-host, Mr. J. You can find him on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. He will be back in tomorrow. But as I said, presented by Hoop Ball, and they are a fantastic website for all your fantasy NBA needs and a whole heap more as well. DFS, whole bunch of stuff. But the Fantasy Pass is one of the best things going around, and it's one of the best deals in the industry at just $4.99 a month. And now that we're into the regular season, there is zero commitment. So sign up for 1 month for just $5. If you don't like it, you can cancel. But guess what? I know you'll love it. And, I'm sure you'll keep going, but it is nice to have that option anyway. The Fantasy Pass is everything you'll need to dominate all year round. Updating projections, the new fantasy appraiser tools, scheduled and streaming charts, pickups and drops, our newest and coolest feature, the Hoop Ball Discord server, where you can hang out with all the Hoop Ball pros around the clock and get one-on-one help with your team as well. So please do go and check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com. Click on the Fantasy Pass ad just below the main media wall. A guest today? There is none. It's just you and I going through today's massive slate of games, 11 in total. And if I get time, I've got a couple of questions that were thrown at me on Facebook. You can find us at Mr. Jolly and The Harlander. Go and like the page. Go and hit us up. You can have a chat to us there as well as on Twitter as well. So let's get stuck into the game, shall we? And the first one, the Rockets 107, ended up losing to the Pacers. The Pacers now move to 6-2. The Rockets 2-4. Let's start on the Rockets side. DeMarcus Cousins pulled down 14 rebounds through 23 minutes, adding 9 points, 1 assist, 1 three-pointer, 2 steals, 4 blocks in the loss. It wasn't the most efficient line from Boogie, as he went just 2 from 9 from the field and 4 of 6 from the stripe. He only committed one turnover while he was out there, and the blocks and the boards were nice, though. Hasn't gotten any run alongside Christian Wood, who sat in this game because of a knee injury. He's considered day-to-day. Maybe it's just a chance for him to have a rest. But Boogie tonight showed he is capable of producing solid stat lines still, even when given minutes in the lower 20s. So seeing more minutes alongside Wood would probably help his outlook. So who knows? Hopefully Wood will return pretty soon. Another guy I was pretty low on, Eric Gordon, scored 20 points, 7 of 15 shooting to go with 2 triples, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 blocks over 33 minutes. Finished a perfect 4 from 4 from the stripe as well, and finished without a single turnover. And he's flirting with top 30 value on the year behind the averages of 19.5 points, 3 triples, 1.3 steals, 1 block, and 1.5 turnovers per contest on 43.9% shooting. So congrats if you snapped him off the waiver wire. I'm not so sure that this is going to continue to stick around. Maybe he is a sell high for you if you have him. Just there's something about Eric Gordon for me that just does not feel exactly right at this point. John Wall, he went 12 for 20 from the field, 4 from 4 from the stripe on his way to 28 points. He added 6 boards, 3 dimes, 2 steals and 1 swat and 5 turnovers. While he was there, he has truly appeared to recapture his all-star form. Whilst Wall was great, James Harden looked overly passive out there. He finished with 15 points, 5 of 14 field goals, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 12 assists, 1 three-pointer, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and 4 turnovers in 39 minutes. And the Rockets remain winless on the road. I wonder if they'll be able to break that soon enough. Let's look at the Pacers. Malcolm Brogdon scored a career-high 35 points, adding 4 triples, 7 dimes, 2 boards, 3 steals, and 1 turnover across 39 minutes. Brogdon was aggressive from the jump. He got his points very efficiently as well, finishing 13 of 25 from the field and 5 from 5 from the charity stripe. He's having a breakout year and is very much, more assertive on the offense since TJ Warren has been on the sidelines. Not that we were very worried about Brogdon's on-court capability. We were just skeptical on how long it could last. He only made it through 54 games last year, but fantasy GMs may want to test his market value whilst he's healthy and flirting around first-round numbers. In other words, if you want to, maybe sell high, maybe put a foot out there. I probably wouldn't. I've got Brog in a couple and I will be holding at this point because I think he's been great value. Miles Turner was held to just 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting Wednesday, but he made up for it with 8 swats, 5 boards, 2 dimes and 2 steals across 32 turnoverless minutes. He had scored 15 plus in his previous 4 outings, but he couldn't just get his shot to drop today, although it's easy to forgive him when he's racking up swats like that. He's now had 2 games with 8 swats and sits 13 blocks ahead of second place Rudy Gobert with 33 total block shots this season. Domantas Sabonis had another superb game with 22 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, and 5 turnovers in 38 minutes. I love Sabonis. Continue to hold him, buy him, whatever. Although I think if you tried to buy him right now, it would be a ridiculous price. Victor Oladipo struggled with his shot, going 6 from 20 from the floor, 5 from 8 from the line, 18 points over 36 minutes. Just wasn't great shooting for Oladipo, but he rounded out the stat line with 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 turnovers while he was out there. His steal numbers aren't what they used to be, though. 1.3 is what he is averaging. Still, he's flirting with top 50 value this year behind averages of 20.4 points, 6 rebounds, 4.3 assists and 1.9 turnovers on 44.1 shooting from the field and 72.7 from the line. Pretty good for a guy who had an ADP of just 77. And McDermott, if you all rushed out and picked him up after his pretty good breakout game the other day, he came down pretty awkwardly from a rebound. Did not return, so keep your eye out on his injury stuff for tomorrow. The next game I want to have a chat about has got a bit of a sour note to it. The 4-4 Cavs 94 lost to the 6-2 Orlando Magic 105. Who would have thought they would be 6-2? We'll get to the Magic side and why I'm a little bit heartbroken and very disappointed for one player in particular on the Mavericks. On the Magic, I should say. I'm looking at the Cavs, I'm looking at the Mavs, I'm looking at everything on the Magic side. But let's start with the Cavs. And Colin Sexton appeared to tweak an ankle during the game, but he played through it to finish with 21 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal, a block, and 3 three-pointers on 8 of 20 shooting in the loss to the Magic. He passed Donyell Marshall for the 20th on Cavs' all-time three-pointers list tonight and appeared to be grimacing whilst dealing with that ankle injury. He played through it, though, and he's having a great year. You want to check on the injury update tomorrow or Thursday, whenever you're listening to this, if he is on your roster, especially with Darius Garland still out and expecting to miss at least the next week. Isaac Okoro returned from an foot injury to hit 4 or 5 shots for 10 points, 2 assists. He shot it well, but he didn't do anything else. He is intriguing with Darius Garland out for the next few games. But, you know, as we said, you know, Colin Sexton had 21 points and Okoro really just couldn't get anything going. He's a marginal player to hold right now, I think. Interesting with the Cavs playing 4 times in each of the next 5 weeks. So if that is a thing that you really rely on in how many games you're playing and if you're playing, you know, 4 a week, Okoro could very much be a guy you'd want to go and look out for the next week in particular. On the Magic side, and why am I very disappointed? Well, my man, Markelle Fultz, I grabbed him late in quite a few drafts, long before he became a trendy name. He has been diagnosed with a torn left ACL and will miss the remainder of the 2021 NBA season. And what a gut punch. Fultz was well on his way to a breakout season, but it all came to an end after just 7 games. Cole Anthony started the second half and hit 4 of 12 shots on his way to 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 3 turnovers in 32 minutes. So while even the shooting might not have been pretty, he's worth a look in just about every league now. Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier should see some increased playmaking responsibility with Fultz out for the year. And Vooch should see a minor uptick in usage for, you know, his assists. Even his assist numbers for Vooch were a little bit up. I'll talk about him in a minute. You know, Cole Anthony's got some issues with his shooting. If you can handle that, then, you know, that's okay, especially in a points league where that doesn't really hurt you. He's hit 23 of just 76 shots this season at 30%, but he's about to become that NBA starting point guard as a rookie, so definitely worth a flyer in points leagues in particular. But if I were you, I'd go and get him, ask some questions a bit later on, because if you don't, your opponent might, and you might live to regret it. Looking at Vooch's scoreline in 34 minutes, he shot 7 from 18 from the floor, 1 from 5 from three-point line, 1 from 1 for the stripe for 16 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 block. And another guy who I think is ridiculously interesting, especially while Fultz is out, and I think he's someone, if you haven't been streaming already, Terrence Ross, only got 22 minutes tonight, shot 6 from 9 from the floor, 5 from 6 from deep, 3 from 4 from the charity stripe for 20 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and a block. Terrence Ross is one guy I would certainly, if you're not streaming him, put him on the end of your bench so your opponents don't. And yeah, look, go and grab him. The Bruise Letter, it's back, baby. Yes, back and fresh for the 2021 NBA season. And what is it? Well, it's Intimate Fantasy Nuggets from our founder, Aaron Brewski, in his exclusive email newsletter that he is writing. You can't find this exclusive content anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on a podcast or social media. It's only the email newsletter. You can sign up and get it for free. Just go to bit.ly/BrewsLetter2021, Brewers in B-R-E-W-S letter 2021, and sign up in 10 seconds. Again, the site is bit.ly/BrewsLetter2021. Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox. Let's have a look at the third game for the day. And what a corker of a game in a massively high-scoring affair. The Washington Wizards, now 2-for-6, 136, got defeated by the Philadelphia 76ers, the 7-1 Philly 76ers, 141. We'll start on the Washington side, and a guy who's definitely going to be on the cover, Bradley Beal, a career-high 60 points, and that just was not enough. He was, you know, sensational from the jump. He dropped, 13 points in the first 10 minutes. He had 32 on 16 shots at halftime. He got his buckets with great efficiency, going 20 of 35 from the field and 13 from 15 from the free throw line, with 7 threes, 5 dimes and 1 steal, 4 turnovers across 38 minutes. But ultimately, it just was not enough, and the Wizards picked up their 6th loss of the season. Rusty Russell Westbrook dislocated his finger towards the end of the game, so he could miss both games of the upcoming back-to-back. So Beal is on track for an electric, electric weekend. Westbrook dislocated a finger on his right hand, but he finished with 20 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 triples, 3 steals and a block with 6 turnovers. If he does sit, be prepared to not have him on Friday. Rao Neto should again be a spot starter when Rusty sits. He'll be someone to consider as a streamer, that's for sure, or pretty good on a DFS punt play as well. Davis Bertans scored 17 points on 6 of 15 shooting to go with 4 triples, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 turnovers in 33 minutes off the bench for him. This is more or less what you come to expect from Bertans most nights, minus the steals, I guess. And it was his second straight game with minutes in the 30s. It looked like he's finally got his conditioning where it needs to, which isn't great news for the rookie Avdija, as the uptick in minutes for Bertans has resulted in the rookie's minutes declining into the teams. Avdija finished the loss with just 1 point, 1 block on 16 minutes off the bench. Looking at the Philly side, and Joel Embiid with a monster stat line, tallying 38 points, 8 rebounds, 3 three-pointers, 5 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, and 5 turnovers across 37 minutes. Embiid was coming off a season-low 14-point for performance when he got things back on track tonight. He became just the first 76er since Julius Erving to record a 35-5-5-3-3 stat line. He's currently ranked in the top 5 on the year with averages of 25.3 points, 11.7 rebounds, 3.3 assists, 1.3 triples, which is a career high, and 1.3 steals, which is a career high, 1.9 swats and 2.9 turnovers, which is a career low, per game on 52.8% shooting from the field, another career high, and 83.6% from the free throw line. Guess what? Yep, that's another career high for Joel Embiid. Big JoJo, as long as he can stay healthy, he shouldn't have any trouble continuing to flirt with these numbers. Seth Curry dropped a season high, 28 points. Yes, I said Seth, not Steph. Seth Curry, 28 points, 11 of 14 shooting to go with 6 triples, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 turnover in 36 minutes. He only scored 11 points in the blowout win on Monday, but he surpassed that mark in the first quarter of today's game, dropping 15 points in the first 10 minutes with just 1 missed field goal. He's having himself a career year as the starting two guard in Philly, flirting with top 40 value as well, behind the averages of 17 points, 3.6 assists, 3.1 threes, and just 1.5 turnovers per game on a 60.3% shooting. He's obviously not going to shoot such a sky-high field percentage for the entire season, but it's a reliable source of points and triples, steady stream of dimes as well. Good work if you got Seth Curry. And Aussie Ben Simmons had a 17-point, 12-assist double-double tonight. Simmons got off to a hot start in this one, not missing a single shot through the first half of action. He finished with 7 of 9 from the field and 3 from 6 from the free throw line, whilst adding 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 turnovers in his 36 minutes off floor time. Tobias Harris also had a solid game with 19 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 3 triples, and 2 turnovers in 41 minutes. Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets, knee Bobcats, 102, got themselves the win over the 4-4 Atlanta Hawks. They only got 94. We'll start with the Charlotte Hornets. And Gordon Hayward hit 15 of 25 shots, 4 three-pointers, and 10 of 12 free throws for a career-high 44.7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block with just 1 turnover in the win over the Hawks. Injury concerns have wrecked Hayward's ADP over the last few seasons, but he's healthy and rolling for the Hornets, which is great to see. He's scored in double figures in every game this season and has been doing a nice job with the rebounds, the assists, the steals, the three-pointers, and has a block shot in three straight games. Unfortunately, he can't play against the Hawks every night, but you know what? Hayward has been great. If you picked him up, well done. LaMelo Ball hit 6 of 12 shots, shot 2 three-pointers for 16 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, just one turnover for LaMelo Ball, and he hasn't committed more than 2 turnovers in any game this season. And starter Devontae Graham has hit just 25 of 99 shots to start the season. You have to think Ball is on the verge of winning that starting point guard job, wouldn't you? I think so, but it's possible that the Hornets just like him coming off the bench with the second unit. Either way, he's early favourite for Rookie of the Year, something that if we get a chance to, we'll talk about those rookies a little bit later on. He's played very, very well this year. Having LaMelo on your roster is a pretty fun experience, I'd hate to say. And interesting enough, Mr. J said it a couple of times with Anthony Edwards. Has a rookie ever won Sixth Man of the Year? Because Ball would almost be in that conversation as well. And DVG hit just 12 of 14 shots, continues his stinker when it comes to shooting. He hit 2 three-pointers for 11 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. Assists and a season high 4 steals in 39 minutes. Maybe an interesting buy low option. And PJ Washington hit just 3 of 8 shots with a 3-pointer, but also finished with 9 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, you know, in the win over the Hawks. He's dealing with a sore thumb, which might have affected his shot, but he has had his best fantasy stat line of the season. He played 38 minutes, so it's definitely worth rostering in all leagues until further notice, and hopefully those blocks will come at some point. Yes, okay, he hasn't had one in the previous 5 games, but at least he got some tonight. On the Hawks side of things, Clint Capela hit 3 of 8 shots for 7 points, a season-high 19 rebounds and an assist, and a steal in 26 minutes. He's still trying to find his sea legs, but he was a beast tonight, and his quality racked up double-digit rebounds in 5 straight games now. He also has 3 double-doubles in his last 4. His minutes were a little low tonight, but that's a good thing considering the Hawks were able to rest him when it became apparent they weren't going to win. He's playing himself very much into game shape and should be a second-half monster if he can stay healthy. Kevin Huerta hit 7 of 15 shots, 5 three-pointers on his way to 19 points, which was a little bit interesting for him and probably the man who was the right guy for the job when it comes to the Hawks. Try to keep them in it. John Collins, in 31 minutes, shot 9 of 16 for 56%, didn't try a 3 and shot 5 of 7 from the foul line for 23 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal in the double-double for John Collins. We go to our next game and we look at Boston 107, just pipping the Heat 105. And it was the rookie who got the last second layup shot to get the win for Boston. We'll talk about Peyton Pritchard in just a minute, but Jaylen Brown double-doubled, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 triples, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 1 turnover in 37 minutes. The only knock on Brown's stat line tonight is that he finished 8 from 23 from the field. He also knocked down both of his freebies, and he's shooting a career-high 73% from the foul line through the first 9 games of the year. With Brown becoming a respectable free-throw shooter and an elite steals guy averaging 1.6, the sky's the limit for him. He's currently flirting with top 20 value this season. Jason Tatum tonight scored a game-high 27 points, 10 of 21 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line in the win with 5 triples, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 2 turnovers in 38 minutes. Marcus Smart returned from injury, and the kid that won it for them, Peyton Pritchard, was held to just 3 of 10 shooting, but he came through when it mattered the most, of course. He also got 6 points all up, 6 rebounds, 4 assists in 20 minutes off the bench. You know, it wasn't as impressive as his 23-point performance coming off the bench on Monday, but he entered the evening in the top 3 amongst the Celtics, plus minus at plus 6. He also finished the game without a single turnover. He is going to be an important part of the Celtics' rotation until Kemba Walker comes back. So he's worth a look in deep leagues for fantasy managers seeking some dimes and steals. He's a bit too inconsistent for standard settings, though. And interestingly enough, I thought Aaron Naismith would be, you know, the rookie to watch in Boston. But clearly, Peyton Pritchard has come out. These Celtics are experts. They certainly know what they were talking about. For the Heat, Jimmy Butler scored 26 points, 9 of 19 shooting to go with 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks over 33 minutes. Buckets. Jimmy Buckets was 0 from 3 from distance in this one, but he was nearly perfect at the stripe. 8 from 9, finished with just one turnover. His ankle doesn't appear to be giving him too many issues, so I'd expect Jimmy Butler to be good to go for Miami's upcoming Friday and Saturday back-to-back set. For Jimmy Butler, though, you know, I think he's a tight hold. I know a lot of people are concerned and want to try and sell him off. You've got to remember that playoff Jimmy Butler is not regular season Jimmy Butler. They are not two different people, and he always just finds this another level in the playoffs. What you hope in drafting him as high as you do is that he is going to find that playoff caliber, you know, expectation during the regular season. So hold tight. He might be okay. A bit of a disappointing game for Tyler Hero. 34 minutes, 8.7 rebounds, an assist on 2 from 8 from shooting the field, 1 from 5 from deep, and only 3 from 5 from the foul line. But Bam Adebayo, that's the guy. He was the guy who did brilliantly well, flirted with a triple-double, 34 points. He shot 5 from 10 from the floor, 5 from 6 from the charity stripe with just 2 turnovers for 15 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 blocks. Bam Adebayo continuing to do pretty good things. Well, fellas, Valentine's Day is almost upon us. Yeah, I know it's only just gotten into the new year, but you've got to start thinking about it. So make sure you're ready for wherever that night may take you. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you that you need to use the best tools for the job so you can be ready for anything on that special day. 2 million men are already using Manscaped products to groom. Make sure you're one of them. Your girl can't think of what to get you this year. Tell her to give you the gift that's for you and her. The best way to get started is with the Manscaped Package 3.0, full of the best products to keep you looking, smelling, and feeling nice. The Perfect Package 3.0 is led by their revolutionary third-generation lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which has advanced skin-safe technology. It's also waterproof, which prevents a mess on the bathroom floor and sink, especially when it comes time for Cupid to shoot his arrow. And let's be real, you've smelled worse down there before. That's why I'm thankful for their Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. These products keep our boys from sweating, smelling, and sticking. And their products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean. The Perfect Package 3.0 will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxes that you'll keep your junk fresh all day, and it's time to upgrade those pair of boxes to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxes. Easily the comfiest boxes I've had. Complete your grooming game with the refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. It's the same signature scent that is in all Manscaped's formulas. The cologne is a perfect complement to the collection. This is the perfect package for you and the perfect for your package. Get 20% off, free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get 20% off free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code HOOPBALL20. Happy Valentine's Day from Manscaped. Let's look at the next game. The Jazz, 100, got beaten by the Knicks, 112. How good are these Knicks going? Tom Thibodeau has really done something to these guys. The Jazz started off well, have now slumped to 4-4. The Knicks 5-3. And we'll start on the Jazz side. Jordan Clarkson hit 7 of 12 shots, hit 3 three-pointers for 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. He's quietly scored in double figures in all but one game this season, and has been stealing the ball quite nicely. He's a scorer and a three-point specialist, but the 9 steals in 8 games should put him on the radar to be rostered in just about every 12-team league. He scored double digits in 3 games, so an instant offense off the Jazz bench. Ladies and gentlemen, if he is on your waiver wire, go and get him. Don't ask questions. If you already have him, maybe you want to try and sell him high. Because I'm not entirely sure that this will continue for Jordan Clarkson. Jingles, Joe Ingles, he hit 6 of 13 shots for 4 three-pointers on his way to a season high. 16 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists in 28 minutes. Not surprisingly, he got it going on a night when Mike Conley was struggling. Conley hit just 3 of 14 shots, but Jingles still isn't worth rostering in most 12-team leagues. But he's playing well enough to at least be on your watch list, maybe be a streamer. And Mike Conley, as I said, 3 of 14 shots, 0 from 6 from downtown, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal in 29 points. Bojan's struggles continued with 2 of 10 shooting, and Don Mitch hit just 8 of 23 shots in the loss. Conley scored 33 points with 7 dimes on New Year's Day, but has been pretty bad over the last couple of games, averaging just 8.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists and a steal, and a 1.0 three-pointers over his last two, hitting just 6 of 24 shots in them. He'll be right to ship sooner rather than later, so don't do anything rash, though, with Conley, I think. Let's have a look at the Knicks side. Elfrid Payton hit 10 of 15 shots for 22 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists and a steal with just 1 turnover. He ran circles around Mike Conley tonight and has quietly scored double figures in 6 straight games after a slow start to the season. Payton hasn't hit a 3-pointer in 4 straight games and isn't really a steals guy, but he's been playing well for Tom Thibodeau, and he's worth grabbing if you have someone to cut. He's playing well, and he's helped the Knicks to win 3 straight games. Another guy who should not be on a waiver wire. Austin Rivers came off the bench to hit 9 of 14 shots, 5 triples for a season-high 23 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals in 32 minutes. It's nice to have Austin Rivers in the side. He's definitely a guy worth streaming. You know, the Knicks aren't stacked at the guard position. He scored 23, 8, and 15 points with 10 three-pointers in the last 3 games. Definitely worth a look in 12-team leagues. If your waiver wire is lean, I'd certainly go and rush out and grab him if I could. Mitch Robb played a career high 41 minutes, hit 4 of 6 shots on his way to 9 points, a season high 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals and 3 blocks with just 2 personal fouls in Wednesday's surprising win. Here we go. The minutes and the lack of fouls were huge, and he filled the stat sheet as well. Robinson may never be a big scorer, but if he can stay out of foul trouble and play 30 minutes a night, the sky is definitely the limit. He hasn't had a mind-blowing stat line this season, though, but tonight was pretty close. And with Nerlens Noel sitting out and reportedly disgruntled in New York, the future is looking pretty bright for Robinson. And Julius Randle kept his foot on the gas, hitting 10 of 26 shots, missing all 5 of his shots from deep, finishing with the season-high 30 points, 16 rebounds and 7 assists. He scored at least 25 points in 5 of his 8 games this season and has hit double-digit rebounds in 6 straight games. He's not a great steals and blocks guy, and that's 0 from 10 from downtown over the last 2, but he has hit 11 three-pointers this season. He's an obvious number one option for the Knicks offense, and somehow the Knicks have won 3 straight games. Our next game, the Detroit Pistons, 115, went down to the Bucks 130. The Pistons 1-7 on the year. The Bucks 5-3 as they try and get themselves into the playoffs and closer to getting Giannis a championship. We'll start on the Pistons side, and Blake Griffin went just 2-for-9 from the field, 5-from-6 from the line for 9 points over 26 minutes. He earned the inevitable task of trying to go toe-to-toe with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Pretty much went as you'd expect. He had one rebound, five assists, one steal, and one turnover while he was out there. He missed all six of his three-point attempts. Continues to look like a guy who just doesn't have it anymore. Players who rely on their athleticism tend to have steep declines after their 30s. Blake Griffin turns 32 this season. So, yeah, look, if you can sell him, I would be moving on if you have him. Jeremy Grant continues to do beastly type things. 35 minutes. He shot 9 from 20 for 45% from the floor, 2 from 6 from deep, and hit all 11 of his shots from the foul line for 31 points, 10 rebounds, a double-double, and one assist. And another guy who did some great things and very soon, I think, is going to be the permanent starting point guard for the Detroit Pistons in Sadiq Bey. In 24 minutes, got himself a double-double, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Shot 6 from 14 from the floor, 6 from 10 from deep, which is just mind-blowingly great. And two from the charity stripe with just the one turnover as well for Sadiq Bey. On the Bucks side of things, Giannis. Yes, let's have a look at where that guy ended up. 28 minutes he played, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block. Shot 8 for 15 from the floor, 1 from 5 from deep. He got that 3, still struggling at the foul line. 8 from 14 with 5 turnovers for Giannis, which is a bit tough. Drew Holiday is doing Drew Holiday type things and still trying to settle into this Bucks lineup. Played 30 minutes, got 10 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Shot 4 from 11 from the floor, missed all 3 of his shots from deep. Got 1 turnover and was that 2 from 2 from the charity stripe. Brook Lopez, you know, starting to warm up on the season, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, shot 4 from 7 from deep, 6 from 9 from the field, 1 from 1 from the charity stripe. Definitely another pig man if you need some blocks and rebounds, etc. And Bobby Portis, people hate him. I agree. Look, people do not like him when it comes to fantasy. He struggled in a lot of his time. But the guy has been consistent, if nothing else, this season. And if you're not going to stream him, he's certainly worth a speculative add at the end of your bench in 12 teams. At this point, he played 28 minutes, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Shot 7 from 11 from the floor, 2 from 5 from deep, with just 1 turnover for Bobby Portis. The next game, OKC 111, the Pelicans 110 in what was a ridiculously close game. Heartbreaking, I believe, was the words from the guys on the Pelicans pod for Hoopball. That should be out now. Their reaction, they would be in tears. So go and have a listen to that one. The Pels were in front with about 12 seconds left to go until a foul got Grant Hill to the line for 2 free throws, and he was successful in those. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had a 3-point shot with 2 seconds left in an attempt to win the game. It missed. New Orleans got a rebound but just could not get it in the basket to finish. We'll start on the OKC side of things. Darius Bazley hit 8 of 20 shots and 3 of 11 three-pointers for 20 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal in 34 minutes. That's already his third double-double of the season. How good is that? And it's only a matter of time before you won't be able to grab him off waiver-wise anymore. Not that I think he's on there. He led his team in his shot attempts and was the second in minutes played tonight. It's time for Bazley to be rostered in every single league. Speaking of an OKC guy rostered in every league, SGA, he hit 7 of 17 shots, 2 three-pointers for 21 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, and 5 steals. Grant Hill might have hit the game-winning free throw, but SGA was the man in this one. He had a total of 3 steals for the season and nearly doubled that number with tonight's 5 swipes. The 9 dimes tied his season high, and he's now hit 13 three-pointers in 7 games. A lot of people were really high on SGA. I wasn't. I thought he could well be a bust, and now that his steals are on track, his fantasy value should start tracking as well. The early season lack of steals appears to be a bit of a fluke. And Lou Dort started again, played 31 minutes, hit 3 or 4 shots, but finished with just 9 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 1 triple. There were plenty of young players who got a boost tonight. Cole Anthony, Halliburton, who we'll talk about shortly, and Dort hasn't really turned heads since he blew up for 26 points and 5 triples back on December 28. I'm not going to tell you to drop Dort, as he should have a nice season as long as he's starting for OKC. He's been pretty quiet in 4 straight games. Maybe you can drop him with the hopes of getting him back before he heats up. But be careful. I don't necessarily know that he'll make it back to you, although he definitely should. On the Pelicans side, heartbreaking loss, but Steven Adams with a triple-double, 34 points against his old team, 34 minutes against his old team, 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists with 1 steal, shot 4 of 5 from the floor, only 2 of 5 from the charity stripe, though. Brandon Ingram with another double-double in 36 minutes, 24 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 9 from 15 from the floor and missed all 2 shots from deep, 6 of 6 from the foul line with only the 2 turnovers. Lonzo Ball had 4 turnovers, shot 6 from 18 from the floor, 2 from 9 from deep in 15 points with 4 rebounds and 4 assists. And Zion, he got himself in 32 minutes, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 12 from 17 from the floor, which is a nice percentage, which is good. Zion, 5 for 6 from the foul line, which is a little bit better, and only 2 turnovers for him and only 3 fouls as well for the man we know as the beast that is Zion Williamson. 3 more games to go in tonight's slate. Whew, we're getting there. And the Raptors went down to the Suns, 115 to 123. The Suns moved to 6-2 and the Raptors 1-6. Who would have thought? Does anyone think Nick Nurse could be on the hot seat here and in a little bit of trouble? I don't think so, but it's definitely worth something that may be worth a thought. Anyway, Pascal Siakam, now that he's not in the dog box for, getting into foul trouble, got himself 38 minutes tonight, got 32 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block, shot 11 from 21 from the field, 1 from 4 from deep, 9 from 14 from the foul line. We expect a little bit better, but that, a great game from Pascal Siakam certainly kept the Raptors in it with a chance. OG Anunoby in 38 minutes got 20 points, 8 rebounds, and a steal. 8 from 10 from the floor, 3 from 5 from deep in that Swiss Army knife kind of role that he continues to play. And Kyle Lowry had himself a bit of a game as well, flirted with that double-double, 38 minutes, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, 9 from 15 from the floor, 3 from 8 from deep, 3 from 3 from the foul line for him. On the Phoenix side, DeAndre Ayton continues to up his game with a double-double. He shot 5 from 8 from the floor, missed his only shot from deep, got 1 of 1 from the foul line in 11 points, 16 rebounds, and 1 assist in 31 minutes. If you manage to buy low on DeAndre Ayton, good work, because this guy will continue to go up in value. Devin Booker tonight, 6 from 14 from the field, 3 from 8 from deep, 9 from 10 from the foul line for 24 points, 1 rebound, and 6 assists in 34 minutes. And Jay Crowder, a guy who I added in a couple of leagues just because I needed some power forward help and the waiver wire looked a little bit thin. Tonight shot 7 from 11 from the floor, got 6 from 9 from deep, 1 from 2 from the foul line for 21 points, 3 rebounds and a steal in 35 minutes. Definitely should be starting to be owned in most leagues, I would think. Second last game for the day. My Chicago Bulls could not get it done. They led for a while. They're now 4-5. Lost 124 to 128 to the 4-4 Sacramento Kings. And we'll start on the Bulls side. And a very much improved, almost a breakout type game from Kobe White. So if you have him, congratulations on being patient. He improved his field goal percentage to 65.2%, 15 from 23 from the floor, 4 of 9 from deep as well, to go with 2 from 2 from the charity stripe, to get 36 points with 3 rebounds, 7 assists in 40 minutes for Coby White. Good work. Wendell Carter Jr. with another double-double in 30 minutes tonight. He shot 4 of 9 from the field, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. Didn't try one from deep, but I think we've come to expect some of that, even though we thought maybe Billy Donovan might change some things for Wendell Carter Jr. for 11 points, 17 rebounds, and 4 assists. And Zach LaVine continues to just be Zach LaVine and do studly things. 36 minutes, 13 from 24 from the field, 3 from 11 from deep, 3 from 5 from the free throw line, 32 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block for him. The Sacramento Kings, unfortunately, De'Aaron Fox went down with a hammy injury. We'll have to monitor that one. He only managed 5 minutes in this game, but it seemed to be Marvin Bagley, after his dad said, please trade him. He came out and had a mammoth game in 29 minutes, shot 8 from 14 from the floor, 3 from 5 from three-point land, 2 from 2 from the free throw line to get himself 21 points, 12 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks in, as I said, 29 minutes. Rashawn Holmes in 29 minutes also shot 10 from 11 from the field, missed his only shot from deep, hit 4 of 6 from the charity stripe as well for 24 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal. And the guy who, interestingly enough, came out and started at point guard in the second half, Tyrese Haliburton, got 34 and a half minutes, shot 7 from 15 from the floor, 3 from 7 from deep, didn't get to the line, so I guess wasn't all that aggressive, for 17 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the NBA, my friend. He was the one rookie who I was the most highest on all preseason. If you got him in Dynasty, you'll be laughing all the way to the bank, I reckon, with that one. Before we get into our last game, though, I have to have a word to you about our friends at mybookie.ag. And ever since I've started this podcast, people have been asking me for betting tips, and I always get asked, you know, who am I going to back? Ohio State, Alabama? Have I got, you know, Rodgers, Mahomes? Who was going to win the Heisman? Who's going to win MVP? And I tell you what I tell them, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I tell people to bet with MyBookie. MyBookie's rep is rock solid, and they've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. They're the only place I trust to handle my NBA-related bets, the one sportsbook guaranteed to give me the best lines for the National Championship College game on January 11th. Against Ohio State and Alabama, and on every NFL playoff game. You know me, you know that I don't give my stamp of approval out too easily. To earn it, you've got to be the best at what you do. And MyBookie is the best sports book out there, period. It's simple. Sign up and enter the promo code HOOPBALL and get your deposit matched halfway up to 1,000 schmackaroos. Head to MyBookie if you want to add a little excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. The best. Bet with the best. Bet with my bookie. Please gamble responsibly. The last game of today, the Clippers, the Golden State Warriors. The 4-4 now, Golden State Warriors, 101, lost at home to the Clippers, 108. Clips now move to 6-3. After that hot start, they've been a little bit indifferent lately. And we'll start with the Clippers. And Serge Ibaka got himself a double-double in 34 minutes. He shot 5 of 13 from the floor, 1 from 4 from deep, 1 from 1 from the charity stripe. 12 points, 14 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block as well. Paul George returned from his apparent injury, where I think it was just the fact that he was sitting in 38 minutes, 21 points, 12 rebounds in another double-double for PG-13, 2 assists and a steal, shot 5 from 15 from the floor, 2 from 6 from deep, 9 from 9, though, from the charity stripe, and Kawhi Leonard had another decent game in 35 minutes, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and a block to go with 7 from 12 from the floor. Missed all 3 shots from deep, got to the line 7 times, and hit all 7 of them. For the Warriors, let's have a look at Andrew Wiggins, who top scored or equal top scored for them with 19 points, one rebound, three assists, one steal, 8 from 12 from the floor, 2 of 4 from deep, 1 of 1 from the foul line. He equal top scored with Eric Paschal, who got himself 20 minutes, got 19 points, 3 rebounds and an assist, shot 50% from the floor, missed all 3 shots from deep as well. Kelly Oubre continued to stink up his shooting with 4 from 13 from the floor and missed all 6 shots from deep. He really should just stop hitting threes or trying to hit threes. And Steph Curry, after a massive game, has now come back down to earth in 35 minutes, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, shot 5 from 17 from the floor. That's disappointing. 1 from 6 from 3, 2 from 4. Clippers clearly just defensively dominant in that game. Now, I've got a few questions that was asked. Andy reached out on Facebook and he asked, is Whiteside going to be dropped by the Kings after being a scratch for somewhat of the second game? Look, he's certainly just not going to be dropped, although I think he's got a fairly team-friendly contract. Will they look to trade him? Probably not. What would you get for him? I don't think you'd get much for him unless a team desperately needs big man help. I think he's just going to continue to ride the pine at this point. And if you have him, he is definitely a drop in a 12-team league. A deep league, I'd probably drop him too. Rashawn Holmes is the man moving forward for the Kings, and that just should not be too hard to do. So go out there and drop him if you've got him. Nathan hit us up on the Mr. Jolly and the Haalander Facebook page. Go out there and check that one out. From a dynasty perspective, which rookies have impressed me thus far and who have been disappointing? Well, I mentioned Tyrese Halliburton, who's been doing great things in his opportunity this season and will continue to, especially if De'Aaron Fox spends any time out. LaMelo Ball has impressed me. I didn't think that guy would do as well as what he's doing. I thought he would be, Lonzo 2.0 and maybe a slightly lesser version of Lonzo, and has been doing great stuff. And Pritchard is another guy who has really come out of the woodwork, who I thought would not really play much, and I thought Naismith would be the rookie for Boston that everyone would want. Alternatively, Naismith's barely had a run, so that's somewhat disappointing. Killian Hayes as well has been absolutely dreadful as well this season. Oh, and the one guy I forgot for the Bulls, Pat Will. Whilst he started really hot, Otto Porter with Lauri Markkanen out in the COVID protocol has really sort of taken a lot of that Pat Will scruff of the neck type stuff, but he's still been rather consistent. So they're the guys who I'd get. Killian Hayes, from what I've seen, a buy low in Dynasty. I think better days are ahead for him. He will turn the corner at some point. I would rush out and I would probably try and pick up Peyton Pritchard too in Dynasty. Cole Anthony's impact now that Fultz is out. As I said, go and get him off the waiver wire and ask questions later. In a points league in particular, he's going to get the minutes. With the amount of time that he gets, we'd like to hope his shooting percentage will increase and get better as he gets more time. Whether that happens, I don't know. If you can manage to work your way around it or punt field goal percentage, fantastic, no worries. The Detroit Pistons, sorry, that was Stephen who asked about Cole Anthony. Rui wants me to talk about the Detroit Pistons. Well, they're just an absolute, they're a mess. They're in a absolute mess. I think they need to move on from Blake Griffin sooner rather than later. I would, if I were them, probably let Derrick Rose have a bit more time to take some of that pressure off Killian Hayes, because clearly the kid at this point is just not making it. And Rose has been pretty effective when he's been coming off the bench. And DeLon Wright, for some reason, is just a no-show. And so I don't think DeLon Wright is in their plans either at this point. It's clearly Jeremy Grant's team moving forward with some help from Plumlee as a big. And I think Demboya and Sadiq Bey will be, a bit of a force from the young power forward kind of position moving forward? And will Corey Joseph, thanks to Carl who reached out, Corey Joseph, will he get more minutes with Fox out? Look, Corey Joseph's been playing a ton of minutes off the bench in, you know, what we thought would happen and Brewski thought would happen with a team like Sacramento wanting to try and tank. So I don't necessarily think that he will get an increase in minutes. I think he will just consistently stay in the mid to high 20-minute range. Tyrese Halliburton's the one who is going to, you know, be extremely lucky out of that one. So if Fox misses any time, and that kid is on the waiver wire. Now, I know he is currently ranked in somewhat the 60s, the 70s, for the season in 9 cat leagues. If he is miraculously somehow on your waiver wire, and he has been, I have seen him in the last couple of days, then go and get him. There is no ifs, no buts about it. Tyrese Halliburton, if Fox is out, go and get him because he will be worth a pickup. Hey, that's it for me. Thanks very much for joining me and this, the Box Score Breakdown presented by HoopBall. Please go subscribe, like, comment, rate, review, all that stuff on our podcast on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, on the Hoop-Ball website, Stitcher, all that sort of stuff. Wherever you can, please go and do so. That helps us immensely. You can hit me up on Twitter at TheHarlander23, my co-host, Mr. Jolly. He'll be back tomorrow with a special guest to review the 5 slate of games that we have on for tomorrow. And I guess there's a few late ones headlined by the Lakers and the Spurs yet again. Who else have we got? And the 76ers and the Nets. Red hot game. Keep your eye out for that one. Mr. Jolly, you can find him on Twitter. And Mr. Jolly of Sydney, hit us up. Ask us questions. Hit us up on Facebook at Mr. Jolly and the Harlander as well. Ask us whatever you can. We'll endeavour to answer them on this very pod. Hope you have a great Wednesday, Thursday, whenever you're tuning in. And I'll talk to you guys a bit later. G'day. Thanks very much for joining me.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.